In 2012, a young man led his collegiate basketball team onto the court. As the captain of the team, he led the starters onto the court. And as he went through the gateway into the stadium, the crowd erupted in cheers. Far more than would normally be for a game. This was the last game of the season. And they were cheering, of course, for their team, but they were also cheering for this young man. His name was Corey Wiseman. The reason that they were cheering for Corey Wiseman is that 4 years earlier, as a freshman, Corey had suffered a paralyzing stroke. At 18 years of age, he had a stroke. Now, Corey was a highly sought-after athlete. He had scored over 1,000 points in his high school career. Many colleges and universities wanted him, but he elected to go to small Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania. What the young man, Corey, had gone through the next 4 years was 4 years of rehabilitation, of continually trying to relearn how to walk, relearn how to do so many basic things, learning how to brush his teeth. He had so many basic things that he had to do, but he did that as a full-time student. The coach had kept Corey on his team all 4 years, even though he couldn't walk, he couldn't play at all. But his senior year, he had improved enough that he could walk, even though it was with a limp, he could run a little bit with a limp. And so in this, the last game of his collegiate career, the coach announced that he was going to suit Corey up. He was going to get to suit up. And the players held a special election, and they elected him captain for that game. And he got to lead the starters onto the court. He got to play, and after a few minutes, the coach rotated him out. And once again, a standing ovation as he left the court. The game proceeded, and with less than a minute to go, Gettysburg was comfortably ahead, and the coach put Corey back in. But then something happened. The coach for the opposing team, Washington College, called his players over during the timeout and instructed them to foul. Instructed them to foul Corey. And so with the seconds ticking down on the clock, one of the players reached in and fouled Corey. Tweet. And Corey went to the free throw line. They were in the bonus, so he had two shots. He dribbled. He felt the weight of the ball. He launched it and missed badly. Nothing but air. He threw the ball back. And this time, he dribbled. He felt the weight of the ball, and he launched it. And this time, he drained it. Nothing but net. The crowd went wild. And Corey scored his one and only point as a varsity basketball player. The vice president of athletics of Gettysburg College wrote a letter to the Washington College administration. And this is what he said in his letter. Your coach, Rob Nugent, along with his staff and student athletes, displayed a measure of compassion that I have never witnessed in over 30 years of involvement in intercollegiate athletics. Our theme for the month of August is kindness. And the theme for today is compassion. And the title of this talk is the CIA. No, it's not the Central Intelligence Agency. It's compassion in action. So first of all, I want to thank Jenna and the choir. When I saw the order of music, I thought, well, that's unusual. Your prayer is my prayer too. We usually sing that in a Tizay service while we're lighting the candles, but what a perfect, perfect song to underline our oneness. Whatever you feel, I feel too. I do want to welcome everyone who is here. I noticed that there were a few people here for the first time. Thank you very much for joining us. If there are any of you who are here for the first time and you were not so bold or so brave as to raise your hand, we do have those gift packets in the back and you can pick one of those up on your way out. It talks a little bit about what we believe and a little bit about who we are. So welcome everyone on this beautiful sunny Alaskan summer day, which is perfect for a picnic. We don't always get a good day for the picnic. We've had some Helly Hansen picnics before. So three major points today. First of all, who am I? Secondly, oneness. And thirdly, the ripple effect. So our theme is compassion. So what is compassion? According to the dictionary, compassion is a sympathetic concern and pity for the suffering and misfortunes of others. Sympathetic concern and pity for the suffering and misfortunes of others. And I hope that before the talk is done today, you'll have a little bit expanded definition of compassion than what the dictionary says. Who am I? Well, I mean, who am I? Well, I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a minister. No. Those are all effects. Husband, yeah, that describes my marital status. Father, yes, that describes my place in a family unit, but that doesn't describe who I am. Minister, that doesn't say who I am. That's my occupation. That's my vocation. That's what I do, but it doesn't say who I am. Who I am is something much different than that. Esther Hicks and Abraham call it our inner being. Ernest Holmes calls it our cosmic consciousness. In talking about this inner being, this cosmic consciousness, Ernest Holmes wrote in the Science of Mind text, cosmic consciousness is not a mystery. It is the self-knowingness of God through man. The more complete the operation of that power, the more complete is man's conscious mentality. For the illumined do not become less, but more themselves. The greater the consciousness of God, the more complete it must be the realization of the true self, the divine reality. Well, that's quite a mouthful. What that means to me, that is an expression of namaste. Namaste. The God in me sees the God in you. The God in me honors the God in you. That divine spark that's within each one of us. One of the perks of this job that I have is teaching classes and getting to read some of the student papers. And this came from a paper that one of the students in our Power of Your Word class wrote. The circulation of consciousness binds one and to one so softly and easily, so neatly and intimately, as though it were the blood in our own veins. Thus, the inevitable law of attraction completes its aim. We are attracted to those who meet us on the line of our own march. We are native to the same celestial latitude. We are one with the revolution of the stars. Along the same vein, Ernest Holmes wrote, "The inner man is Christ, and Christ is the Son of God. The inner man is revealed by what he does. As we do not see God, so we do not see the real man. We never see causes, only effects, but the effects loudly affirms the nature of its cause." So where I'm going with all this is, yes, it's great that we can have compassion. We can have a feeling. We can have this pity. We can have whatever the dictionary chooses to call it. We can have this. But when we can feel our oneness, then we can take action. And when we take action is when things expand. So our second point leads right into it, which is oneness. When we become aware of our oneness with each other and with all of life, and our oneness with God, we awaken a compassion in our minds and hearts. In Living the Science of Mind, Holmes wrote, "Realizing that I am one with all people, I affirm that there is a silent power flowing through me and them which blesses and heals and prospers, makes happy and glad their pathway." A few years ago, a minister in Honolulu, the name of Tony Campolo, was in a restaurant very, very early one morning, like 4 o'clock, and he noticed that he was surrounded with prostitutes. And as he listened to them, he overheard one, I think her name was Agnes, and she was complaining that the next day was going to be her birthday. And she had never had a birthday party. And he listened and he felt that compassion. He felt that awareness of our oneness. And so he talked to the owner of the restaurant. Name was Harry. And together they hatched a plan that they were going to throw a birthday party for Agnes. So they got the balloons, they got the streamers, they got all the other stuff, they got the cake, and word got out on the street, and all kinds of prostitutes showed up the next day, the next morning at 3:30, and at 3:15. And when Agnes came in at her usual time of 3:30, they all jumped up and started shouting happy birthday. And as they sang happy birthday to Agnes, the tears flowed down. And Harry invited her up to cut the cake. And she'd never cut a birthday cake before. And she didn't want to. And she said, "I can't cut this cake. I want to take it home and show my mom." And so she took the birthday cake and left. And so Tony Campolo and Harry and his wife did what any good minister would do in that place. They sat with the rest of the prostitutes and they prayed. They prayed for Agnes and her happiness. But that's action. We had the compassion and then action. So my third point is the ripple effect. This compassion creates expressions of ideas and ways of being in the world, which in turn raises our consciousness. And it is this elevated consciousness that then ripples out into the entire world. You see, it is through action. It was through the action of the coach and the opposing coach that allowed the compassion for Corey Weissman to spread. It spread not only out through that arena, but it spread to the rest of the league as that letter became published, as people became aware, as people came what happened through that, awareness of the effects of stroke were known to many, many more people. This thing spread and spread and spread. They eventually made a movie out of it called 1,000 to 1, and he went from being scored 1,000 points to scoring 1 point. But that one was just as important as that 1,000. And it is through action of throwing a birthday party that the life of a woman was changed forever. So what I want you to take away today, that big takeaway, is that we make a difference, each and every one of us. When we can recognize that oneness, we can feel the compassion. I see today people who have been privileged, and it's difficult for them to comprehend what it's like to not know where their next meal is going to come from, to not know where they're going to have a place to sleep tonight. But when you have faced those situations, when you can be in that place, when you can know that we are indeed one with others as human beings, then we can have that compassion. And once we can take that compassion, then we can take action. And with that action, we can change the world. We think that the little things we do here in Anchorage, Alaska, are not going to have an effect on the world. You're wrong. They do have an effect on the world. Harry, the restaurant owner, afterwards was asked about the birthday party. And Harry was not a religious man. In fact, he didn't like church at all. He thought it was all a bunch of hooey. But he said that if there's a church out there that will throw a birthday party for a prostitute and then pray after she leaves, that's the kind of organization I want to join. We had one of our members have that moment of oneness, have that moment of compassion, have that moment of awareness of our oneness. This story came out, and we became as a community aware that foster kids were very often shuttled from foster home to foster home, and all of their belongings were dumped into a garbage sack as they went on to the next home that they were going to. And Cynthia George stepped up and said, you know, that doesn't feel right. They should at least have something. Their possession should at least be something to put it in, and not just a garbage sack. And so she started the little project that we did of collecting suitcases, gently used suitcases. But you see, it started with that compassion. It started with the awareness of our oneness, that none of us are that far away from not knowing where the next meal's coming from. None of us are that far away from not knowing if we're going to have a place to sleep or if it's going to be a different place to sleep. We are one, and we can help one another. And so the way was paved, along with our parking lot, to allow us next week was going to be this week, but we paved the way. We're going to deliver those suitcases to Covenant House. And so I hope that if there are any of you who are not members, if you would like to step into the arena with Harry and believe that this is the kind of a place that you'd like to join, I'd like you to know that we see you and we would love to have you as part of our growing group. Little changes can make a big difference to some really important people like those foster kids. It is with this idea of our oneness, of our compassion with one another, and how our actions can have a ripple effect out into the world, that I ask and I invite my colleagues to join me in holding our congregation in love and light, and simply knowing our oneness, knowing that we are all one, that we are all magnificent and beautiful children of God, and that we all deserve every break, that we all can have and experience all of the good that there is in the world, that fear can be replaced with faith, that lack and limitation can be replaced with abundance and prosperity, that disease can be replaced with health, that separation can be replaced with love. And so it is with a grateful heart, a joyous heart, that I give thanks. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God in each and every living thing that I see and I meet and I know. I give thanks for the health, the prosperity, and the love that I encounter every day. And now, knowing that this love that is in my heart is the true love of God, I release these words to the working of a law that always responds. I let it go, I let it be, and so it is.
And so it is.